Market time to be ready to start the modeling, then seeing up the CMP by spectrum, which actually changes some of the stuff and actually changes the detectability FNL from plant. Okay. All right. So I'm going to draw something that will explain some of these effects briefly that I've talked about. So that's the last second surface. Mission 1100, and I'm going to use theta as the temperature fluctuation. So the thing we are talking about is theta here is not zero. Okay, so we are here somewhere. So there's some mode, that's the d phi dt, then VISW. So we heard about point sources that exist in dark matter halos. And these things have Sanyo's orbital effect. And there are free electrons in the local universe after reionization, say after some redshift. So this is increasing redshift. So anyway, so there are free electrons somewhere, and photons scatters off. So these things are just like a Doppler effect. And there's Osterreich-Auchinier kinetics of the range, patchy reionization. Lots of names for the same thing. So this is basically taking sigma t, the line of sight velocity, scattering off the electrons. You can modulate the electrons. So this is the Doppler. You can modulate the electrons by the number density of fluctuations. That's what we usually call Osterreich-Auchinier in the linear regime. But when delta, we have a name, that's the kinetics on here. So the Winch effect. And this NA in the reionization, not everything is reionized. Only a partial fraction of electrons reionized. So that's Xc in NIVA. And you can modulate your Xc by having patches that turn on as the first sources turn on. So this is the patchy reionization. Anyway, so the point is all of these are, some of these effects are nonlinear second order, which means they naturally produce higher order non-Gaussian things in the CMB data at the end of the day. Because we can couple things like density perturbations here to the density perturbations in the point sources. Or density perturbations in the SC, things like that. And there's another effect which I will spend a little bit more time to explain, because there's a result related to that, which is we have dark matter halo, photons coming towards us, it's bent by the dark matter, so this is lensing. Okay, so this goes up. And let me erase this before I come over there. Okay, so I can draw a CL, but I'm sure you guys seen all the CLs, right? I mean, so I'm not going to draw it. But I'll tell you about the lensing. So the lensing effect is basically, you're looking at temperature at one point of the sky, theta n hat. Well, what happens is because of deflection, you get photons from slightly off direction, right? You get theta n plus alpha, which is alpha is the deflection angle. So that's the, in lensing language, that's the gradient of all the projected potentials between us and the last scattering surface. So phi is you integrate everything. There's a lensing visibility thing. I'll tell you what that is. So you're integrating all the phi's along the line of sight. And this is something like 1100 times today. Okay? So phi is the co-moving coordinate. All right, so this thing, so you can expand this. Let's do a tail expansion to simplify things here. So this will be the gradient of theta coupling to the gradient of phi, the second order correction. So this is, sorry, this is the left. This is the primary primordial perturbation at the last Kelvin surface. Okay, so everything comes as a gradient of theta, which means if Tnb on the sky was extremely uniform, there would be no lensing effect, which is a statement about conservation of surface brightness. Because in lensing, you're just distributing photons on the sky from one part to the other part, and you are not creating or destroying photons, so you have to conserve the number you get. Okay, so now there's an obvious thing, right? To the first order here, in terms of the deflection angle, right? So there's the temperature coupled to the phi. So you can do all sorts of games, things like you can take your temperature at some direction, say that's the primordial temperature, and you can couple it into this thing, right? So that's the first order term. And then you need to have a tracer field of phi to generate a light spectrum. So you can do theta, anything you can think about. Theta secondaries. Okay, so these are the sort of the lensing body spectra you can calculate, and these things will be proportional to in the Fourier space if you take Fourier transforms and everything. L1 to L3 will be proportional to something like CL primary, L1, CL2, cross correlation between the potential and the secondary effect. Between L1, L2, L3. Okay. So this is actually for lensing, it's nice. It's just the dot product. Okay. It's just a gradient. You take the gradient of L2 here, and you take the gradient of this couple set. But anyway, so it produces these secondaries. But then, because of this Morse coupling, these things don't overlap with the primordial bi spectrum, right? So actually, I should make that point here too. Alright, so I skipped something that I should make. So we're seeing Dan Stark. So all of these things we are talking about, because the estimator, right? That we are estimating the data is something like this. It's the light spectrum from like theory weighted against the bi spectrum in the data. So this is the observed thing weighted against the covariance matrix, so let me put this alpha prime. Okay, anyway, so estimate, this is the nearest way to write this estimator for the FNL, right? Then there's a normalization factor that's calculated, which is basically the same thing, but it is the theory weighted against the same noise matrix of the theory, right? And when theory is taken to be the expected bispectrum for the primordial perturbations, which is with FNL equals 1, you just calculate what's the shape of my bispectrum in L spaces, right? And that we can do. There's lots of paper. So this is the primordial, and call it local or something. You can do this game for any bispectrum you have after in your data, right? So if you do this, then you can get an estimate for FNL, which is basically the SU measure over your normalization. Right. So then the assumption in here is this thing, which is your data set, your map, right, which is where you're measuring the bispectrum and weighted against. The burgeoning assumption here is that this thing is just FNL times your B, the shape of whatever primordial, the local, or whatever the thing you're after, right? Right. So you're assuming it's just that in your map. So that's what's been done in most analysis so far, right?
Not
that's what I said most. But anyway, so there's a question, which is why we are doing all of this, which is, can we just assume just this, right? Which is this some FNL and the local shape. And so because you can see, if this is not true, right, clearly there's going to be secondary things like this I just described, and things like what Daniel talked about. There's going to be foregrounds, and there's going to be a complicated noise bispectrum maybe in the data, And all of that will start to overlap with your theory here in your noise matrix. So you have to calculate all of that stuff, right? If somebody wants to, we have lots of computing power. The thing we said in one of the recent papers is somebody ought to go and measure all of these things, right? Because we have the shapes of all of these things. Right? We know the shapes of point source. I mean, you know. So you do the point source by spectrum the same way, right? You assume that the data is just point sources. You weigh them by the constant you want, and measure it, right? But you can keep on doing this whole thing, machine learning over and over. Anyway.
So generally, you can generalize the estimator then to include those components and to just orthogonalize the...
That's right. Yeah, I mean, so I think the only problem there is computing. How much time do you spend calculating things like this? Because you have to calculate all of this stuff, you know, and the way with the cut sky and all that, you have to simulate them. You have to do all sorts of stuff.
So actually, I have a question. So that expression you have for three-point function, lensing three-point function, isn't that zero? Because theta, graph theta, dot graph phi, theta secondary.
Right.
Because, of course, theta and secondaries are concorrelated from the primaries, right?
Right.
So it's going to be an average over theta times an average over phi and secondaries.
It's this thing, right?
Yes. But the direction in the sky are basically uncorrelated. So the average.
No. So you should take the Fourier transform of this, right? Then that's a convolution, right? And the directions are not.
Yeah. Okay. I see.
So you are not doing an integral over the directions. Okay. All right. So anyway. So these are reasons why. So you can calculate things like delta f and l, which we heard many times over and over, which is basically doing this, which is you take your theory, the thing you are after, like in most of the cases, it's the local FNL shape of that, driven by some noise, and whatever the extra pieces. Right? So you can do all of these things, it's about a few. Okay? And the things we looked at, okay, so this is lensing is one of them, and under this, you have lots of options. You can put it to your secondaries, right? So what you really want to look at is this. Figure out really important. So in here, so I can draw you a figure here. L. So this is the CL lensing potential correlated with any secondaries divided by L cube over 2 pi type thing. Then ISW. That drops off. This is about 100. This is about 10 to the minus 10, which is this about 10 to the minus 9. It's in a funny unit, it's not a microkelvin or anything. So ISW drops off really quickly, but the potentials are more correlated with FC because with clusters there's more correlations because these things do it. So that thing actually comes like this. It actually has a long tail, or too large L. And these things figure out L of like 500. Okay? And this is roughly, from the peak here, this is about a factor of like 5x. Okay. Or maybe even more than that. Yes. So this is FC correlated with the lensing phi.
So that's 5 or what?
It's the 5, it's the potential.
The peak.
Oh yeah, so this is correct. This is 10 to the minus 9, so let me call this like 2 times 10 to the minus 10.
Okay.
Alright, so then there's point sources that are correlated with the same potentials, right? So that thing actually has a similar shape like this, but it actually comes out lower. And it actually has, so we do this in the, okay, so now I have to explain how we do it. So this is point sources correlated with phi, lensing. And there's ISW that correlates with phi lensing also. Anyway, you can do this. You can add all of this stuff, and delta F and L is off. You can get maybe 4 or 5 in the local type. Okay? So, delta F local is always, so this is the bias.
For lensing.
For lensing, yeah, same thing you do with lensing. Okay, can I put this up?
Again, it's relative to the case when you didn't take into account at all.
Oh, what?
How is delta defined, delta and L, relative to the case when...
Oh, sorry, this delta...
the zero power case.
This delta FL is defined relative to, oh, what you mean is FNL, right? Relative to what FNL, right?
That's a bias. That
yeah.
Right. So that's bias between this power spectrum and zero power spectrum.
No, this bias is the overlap between the modes of the local type and all the lensing types. Assuming FNL is like I don't remember the number, it's like a few or something. It's like at the Planck level.
Oh, okay, so what Nmax is that?
All these things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so the number I'm counting for is like Planck. So we cut off at the Planck noise, it's weighted by the Planck noise. And it's smaller for Dublin Max for obvious reasons, because we cut out too early. So things, you know, you never gain the modes that's overlapping out here.
Questions? Confusion? More details?
Less details? So the fact that it's positive means that the point source lensing and ISW lensing contributions overwhelm the SD.
Yeah, at some point later on. Okay, then this is not the end of the story. There's more to this, right? So you can do.
What
yeah.
about
not
lensing? How does that compare?
So that's what I'm coming to this. So it's not just lensing, right? So you can play the whole game. Which is, you can oscillate all of these stuff to each other to form an entry by spectrum. So I can write down some list here, things like SC, SC, points, even things like SC, 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 ISW, ISW. I mean, the list goes on. Okay, you can do OB, patch A.
I thought you've done all that already.
Long time ago. This gives an excuse. You know, your papers give an excuse for us to redo all of this. So anyway, we did all of this, and you can ask how we did it, and it gets a little bit complicated, especially things like this. So we do it in the language of the Hale model. So if you don't know anything about the Hale model. You can ask me. But the idea is there are lots of dark matter halos at low redshift, right? And all the sources are associated with these dark matter halos. So point sources, they exist. ISW comes from the large scale, but you know, any SC exists comes from these halos. And you can do all sorts of things. So in the halo model, like something like, say, point source, point source, point source, right? It has three terms. A term which is what we call the three halo term. That's three separate sources in three different halos correlating with each other. This is the three halo term. And this is proportional to, if you do all the work at the end, I'll just give you a rough number. This is proportional to the bias of these individual galaxies, radio galaxies with respect to the dark matter field, traced by what we call the perturbation theory, the gravitational second order theory, nonlinear power spectrum. D perturbation theory, gravity, this. And this is, you know, there's lots of papers on this, and it has a mode coupling term, which is something like, so in 3D space, there's a mode coupling term, JK1, K2, times power spectrum of delta K1, power spectrum of delta K2. And okay, we have to go from K space to L space, integrate over the redshift, can be done. Actually, she has written a paper on this at some point, which was very helpful. How to transfer this stuff into L space. And so anyway, so that's a three halo term. And this thing is only important at large scale. And that's the reason why I said this. Because this piece, this mode coupling piece, that people have calculated, which is the assuming the delta, there's a delta squared term, and you do the, you know, you evolve all these equations. This actually overlaps a little bit more with the equilateral case, not the local case, but with the F equilateral. So then the delta F actually is very large there because of point sources. It's more than what's in the WMAP paper. In fact, more than by a factor of 2 maybe. So that's large scale. At small scales, there's a So I'm dropping a term, which is the two halo correlate with the galaxy in the one halo term, which only at the intermediate scale. But at small scales, there's a one halo term. And this thing is just proportional to D the integral of the mass function over mass divided by something like average fluxes or something, divided by the m cubed divided by the number density of galaxies.
Now, are you sure it's okay to throw out two heads or two? Because if you have a squeeze,
we dropped it because it's too many things to calculate.
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying if we're squeezed triangles, that might be actually the only term that gives you anything.
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
It's not that hard to prove. That just depends on that goes as the square of the bias, obviously, times the power spectrum. And then, so we calculate all of these things, and then the answer is again. So we calculate. Okay, so we have to calculate. We haven't calculated all of these things. It's a long procedure to calculate all of. So I did not write everything. There's no way you can write. You know, it's like permutations of anything you can think of, right? So it's a grad student project, obviously.
There's a homework. Everybody can think of anything else. Just tell us
all that. Right. So we are slowly calculating. But it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, delta f local coming up small, but the interesting thing we found was the delta f equilateral might be intact.
This is another argument for the bispectrum versus the trispectrum, because the trispectrum we have more permutations of things to work out.
Yeah, that's true. And there could be more, I don't know. You can spend a huge amount of time doing these things. It's not worth it at some
point. 4 years to climb.
Okay. So now I have one more result that I can tell you, which is still a work in progress.
So just understand, okay. The bottom line was that F and L is always 1 for each of these terms, roughly? Or?
Yeah, so if, no, less than 1, but you add, I don't know how many we added. So at the end of the day, you have to add. Then there are actually funny things going on, depending on the shape of this. There are negative positive cancellations when you actually weight one of these things with the sort of the theory by spectrum. So it's not like you can just add up. You have to keep this thing. At the end of the day, it's small. I mean, that's the number I gave you, 4 or 5 or something. So it impacts Planck, obviously. So I wouldn't believe claims from Planck getting down to the sort of the limit right there, and saying that is the real thing at the from the and the last scattering or something. You can always measure it.
You said that the equality equilateral, it can be.
No, I'm saying I said there's a bigger impact from secondaries on measuring the FNL equilateral.
But still, what kind of level is?
Oh, I don't remember now. So I think that's more like a 25 to 30 or something. Yeah.
Is there an easy way to understand why it's
so
sensitive to
be there? So it's easier to understand this. Okay. So there's at large scales. So maybe you won't get it, but at large scales, these radio point sources, they trace, I said, this gravitational perturbation theory by spectrum. And it's sort of a type of this form. So power spectrum, 2-power spectrum multiplied by a mode coupling thing. And this thing has like K1 dotted with K2, K1 dotted with K2 squared. It has some terms, K1 plus K2. And there are terms in there that overlap with the sort of K-dependent terms in sort of like an equilateral. So there's a more better overlap in the modes.
It's picking out
components, basically. Yeah. So it's picking out. So when you measure the equilateral triangle shape from your data, it will pick out more components of this than the local one you put in. This is large scale. It's greater than about 200-300. Yeah.
The nonlinear terms in Euler and continuity equations which are producing this non-Gaussianity come from gradients, and so it's sort of natural that it would produce something very similar to the equilateral configurations, which are also generally produced by gradients in the Lagrangian.
You could see it visually by thinking how the field goes nonlinear under gravity, right? You start creating blobs and filaments, and so if you have been trying to Fourier transform your head from real space, that's what you find when on a larger scale structure you try to disentangle the J there from other type of non-Gaussianity that come from biasing, say, then you want to use, you look at shapes that are either equilateral or are the opposite than the squeezed configuration which you get from the other non-Gaussian. If you squeeze the other way.
But it's only true with large scales, it's not just large, but that was my
system. Yeah, yeah, so this picture, yeah, so this picture. So this is more important, less than like 300, 400, whatever.
So for Planck, where you're potentially going out to larger elves, this is going to be a larger elf, it's not going to be as much of an effect, so theory.
Oh yeah, so you can play the game where you pick or something, right? So you make a beam dimension estimate with Planck, and you can see for a scale dependence. Sure, you can play all those things, yeah. And I'm sure Cambridge is getting ready to do that.
He's going to talk about it on Monday.
Yeah,
he's going to talk about it. Promise, yeah.
So if we are really thinking, we can actually. Yeah, you're asking me the scale dependency.
I'll actually think that that means that I would like to contribute more to the collateral, because it's also kind of isotropic to be on the side. Is that a good region or just wrong?
Radio sources are not isotropically distributed on the sky. You should look at the W map distribution of radio sources, you see that it's not isotropic.
Yeah, because they're clustered?
Yeah, they're clustered. I mean, you can pick out galaxy clusters by looking at point sources, which is a highly non-isotropic, an isotropic distribution. Anything else? Okay, I have one more thing I want to tell you, so...
You want help?
No, I can do it, yeah. Actually, I need time and need this. Okay, so I'm going to write a result, which you are free to derive it. So the result, actually, I need to keep the second order term in here. Anyway, so for the result that exists is what happens to the power spectrum, right? Under lensing, and we know that very well. So the CL has two pieces. So this is lens. CL is the CL primary radius that you see. Mm-hmm. And there's a mode, there's a convolution coming from here. You couple your modes between 5 and theta, right? So there's a. Let me write this exactly before I make a mistake. The potential power spectrum of the it's a power spectrum of the potential coupling, mode coupling to the lensing power spectrum. So that's a large angular scale. And there's another one here, CL theta. So this is well-known result derived by some famous people many years ago. So that's the angular power spectrum, how it changes, and I'll draw a diagram for this to explain the thing I'm going to get at the end. So if you look at the angular power spectrum, L squared CL, this is my hand-drawn version of the acoustic peaks. And what happens is lensing removes power from here, right? There's a smoothing in here, right? So if it smooths out the acoustic peaks in the peaks and valleys and sort of dumps power out here, okay? And so this starts becoming important around 2000 roughly. At 10 to the power of 4 is about a factor of 30 to, okay, let's just say 30 more power in the angular power spectrum. Okay? So you can understand this because I guess I should plot this thing, which is CF prime phi phi. So if I plot that, let me plot it as L to Q CL phi phi. Function of L, it has some shape like this. It actually peaks around L of like 60. you would think Lensing will be a small phenomena, but the way it works is actually not. The coherence scale is very large. But the integral of this, which is this piece that you want, something like EL 10 to the 4, CL 5, 5, CL 5, 5, this is giving you the square of the RMS deflection angle, which is on average, the CMB photon deflecting on the sky. And this thing is about 10 to minus 7, or theta RMS is about something like 2.5 arc minutes in lambda CDM. So what's happening is, on average, each photon deflects by 2.5 arc minutes, but what's happening is a whole patch deflects by that same amount. Okay? So that's what this thing means. All right. But in practice, what this is doing is, this thing is like a window function. So you can think about that as like a window function that's filtering the theta. Okay, so that's what's happening. So you're smoothing your acoustic piece, and you're removing power slowly, and you dump all your power back here. Okay. So you guys know where I'm getting at. Anyway, so let me write one more thing, which is at out here, right? This lens. It's basically, so it's a CL lensed CMB, the lensed CMB is something like L squared CL 5 phi, and the integral of DL prime CL theta theta. Anyway, so this is all the power it takes out and just dumps here at small angular scales. So this thing is just a limit of this expression at large L that you can derive. And the thing I'm getting at this now is now people say, okay, what do people say? People say,
you can go to the next one.
Okay. So it is true that Lensing does not generate a 3-point function, Lensing alone, and you can actually see that, right? Lensing alone will not generate a 3-point function because theta, 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 5, 5, 5. You assume like Gaussian, so that's zero. You can assume 5 is a Gaussian, so 5 by 5 would be almost non-zero. But now that we have a nice result, FNL is 60. There is a theta, theta, theta. So now there's a... So this thing is not zero on the real sky, right? Okay, because there's a primordial by spectrum. So we assume that the last scattering surface is no longer Gaussian. It's not Gaussian, right? So that actually generates a correction to the by spectrum. All your alphas and betas change. I can write it if you want, but let me be really quick. Let me just give you a result. So I can write the length L1, L2, L3. So this is a length by spectrum. So I give you. Yeah, I can do this. Maybe. Anyway, the form is pretty similar. Okay, there are two terms coming just like this. It takes the real thing, modulates it to CL5. So it takes the thing has a last scattering surface, the primordial one. Actually, L prime minus L1, L prime, and modulus if it's 5, 5. L2 minus L prime. And there's a function of L2, L1, L3.
Well, it should be 2C 5, 5.
Why?
Because...
No, what you're doing is you're doing this with two of these.
Ah.
Right? So what, you take the primordial, you take the gradient of theta, gradient of phi, take the gradient of theta, gradient of phi. That's the dominant, that's the largest piece in this thing. Okay? So this is the convolution. at large scale, which means, you know, the bispectrum is smoothed out, right? And actually, it smooths out a lot more, because the bispectrum, you see in the shape, right? It oscillates a lot more than the CLs, right? And your same window function will do that smoothing a lot more, and it actually takes more power out. Yeah. And there's a second piece, actually, small scales like this, which is sort of what dumps power back to small scales. So this is minus 10. Oh, by the way, this has limitations. Yeah. I skipped. Anyway, because you have, we can put this back, we can, you know, write it out the three computations. This is the primary. L1, L2, L3, D2, L1. And this one has limitations too, which is you change L1 to L2, L3 to keep everything together. So the primordial bispectrum is changed. So you can ask, should we worry about this? For WMF, probably not. Should we worry about this for PAC? And the answer is yes.
Actually, so I estimate this FNL minimum band 3 for ideal experiments from P2001. And what's cutting off ideal experiments was the fact that you actually increase the variance because of
I know.
But however, here actually you are. And this is helping, right? So
yeah, that's what I said. Your FNL improved.
That's right.
So your FNL. So okay. So the final result is still being worked out. This should be out, hopefully, at some point. So there's more power. So this is our problem, actually. We don't know a good way to represent some of this stuff. But what's happening is you're dumping more power to large L, right? So you're enhancing, you're taking power from things like this, and you're dumping into power into configurations like this. Okay? And which is the same thing. Anyway, so at large L, there's more power. And so anyway, so you can show maybe something. But then somebody had a BL plot. Somebody says L cubed BL of some plot, you know, you can see really large number of sort of peaks, right? Which are this alpha and beta stuff. Anyway, so you remove power, and this gets dumped back in here. So then you can weighted by this and you calculate SNL. It's better than what's being coded for Planck, it's actually small, because Planck gets cut off about 2,000. Yeah, most of the power actually starts back here again. But for cosmic variance, it becomes really interesting.
Yeah.
So, and it does better than one. Mm-hmm. Let me leave it like
excellent.
That.
That's great.
Okay, so that's my final result that I want to tell you.
So actually, let me understand. So why is the cosmic variance cuts off your FNL?
Because there's a damping tail. There's a damping tail.
Sure.
So there's no power.
No, there is power, but you are cut off by noise or secondaries. I mean, if there is no noise or secondary, you can always go down.
Right. So there's a cut off in the secondary sentence.
Okay, so that, I mean, it's really the secondaries or noise, one of those.
Yeah, so anyway, so all these estimates in Planck usually ignore some secondaries, things like that. So, but there is a cut off there.
Yes. So, smoothing actually, it doesn't really destroy one Gaussian. It just shifts it to other triangles.
It shifts it to small scales.
Right. So if let's say couldn't we develop some maybe an aggressive word, develop some solvers as matter that actually have a combination of this triangle so that you don't lose power of some other triangle.
Sorry, come again.
So you think okay, collateral you lose power to the speed triangle and so can we come up with some orthogonal some other choice of
Oh, you mean like an estimate, right? Yeah. So you can, okay, so that's the thing, which is instead of estimating with your B theory, which is the unless thing, so then you estimate with like a lens thing or something. Then you can recover all this stuff back again. So that could be worked out. I mean, in fact, for Planck, that might be the way to go around and doing it, but I don't know. Maybe not like CMB polos. I don't know. Akbar.
Another thing I should comment is in a paper of Zolderaga, we show that the tri-spectrum is also important because it doesn't bias the estimator, but it contributes to the variance.
Oh, that's right.
And so, but so for quant, that's gonna
So that's the delay. Why we are still trying to figure out what the real limit is, because how many terms in the four-way universal UT?
Yeah.
And if you just do the simplest thing like what I said, and just compare what's been said in the papers with one, then you do better than one in the cosmic variance. But if those things will equally be affected once you have tri-spectrum fixed. And so that's the thing.
This is late in the day, but any questions? Very interesting result. So, you think this is not important for W math?
No, it's not. No.
You think for? Oh, great. So we have dinner, conference dinner tonight, I guess. So this is, we have only one conference dinner. So tomorrow you are on your own. And the day after tomorrow. And the day is following. But today, you're welcome to our pre-conference dinner.